Good morning. Welcome to our worship service on this fourth Sunday in Advent. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, the time is near for us to commemorate the birth of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. But Heavenly Father, our hearts are stained with sin. They are not fit as a home for one so pure and holy. That is why we come to you today and ask that you would not only forgive us for our uninviting hearts, but that you would use your word to root out all that makes us unfit to be called your own. Help us look forward not only to the arrival of the babe of Bethlehem, but also the arrival of the King of Kings as he comes again in glory. Be with us and bless us in our worship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Of the Father's Love Begotten. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
Thank you.
We'll follow the order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the top of page 3. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is the light of the world, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. In this Advent season, we celebrate the coming of Jesus, the light of the world. Dear Jesus, we celebrate your coming at your birth in Bethlehem. We thank you for coming into our hearts by your gift of faith, and we look forward to your coming on the last day when you will take us and all believers to be with you forever in heaven. As we meditate on your manger, your cross, your empty tomb, and your word, we come before your throne today confessing our sins and asking for your forgiveness. Lord of heaven and earth, forgive us all our sins. As we see the world in darkness and in need of your light, increase our faith, love, courage, and strength. Give us your power to be lights in this world, reflecting your love. Amen. Our Father in heaven has been good and merciful to us. In his grace, he's given us, his children, the greatest gift. He sent his son Jesus, the Christ child, whose birth so long ago in Bethlehem we celebrate. Jesus came as a lowly servant to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. By his shed blood on the cross, we are forgiven. In peace and joy, let us sing of our salvation. We pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. We pray this in your name, dear Jesus, for you live and you reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is a prophecy from the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah. This is a very famous and familiar prophecy read usually around Advent or Christmas time. It's the prophecy about Jesus being born of a virgin. It also tells us that he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. What we may not always remember is this was a prophecy that God spoke first to an unbelieving king named Ahaz, and this would be a sign for him. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, Hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Our second reading for today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. In this reading, we see Joseph being visited by an angel and being told what to name this baby. The baby's name, of course, would be Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. That name means Savior. You also hear the reading from Isaiah quoted in this section of Matthew as well. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on pages 5 and 6 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Jesus' Name of Wondrous Love.
Thank you.
Please rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Savior and brother, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 1 John chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. If you were to rank in order of importance the Christmas traditions that we've been looking at over the past few Sundays in Advent, where would you put today's tradition in that ranking? Let's remember the ones we've gone through so far. We've considered gift giving, decorations, and Christmas carols. Today we consider family time. Where does that Christmas tradition rank if you were to rank them with the ones we've looked at during Advent? For those of you who are adults, especially those of you who are parents or grandparents, I'm guessing it would rank really, really high on that list. I think it's without question number one on my list. Pretty easy to think that and to say that that's number one on my list. In fact, if you were given a choice, you can have family time this Christmas with all of your family gathered together, but you get none of the other three that we've gone through. You get no gift giving, you get no decorations, and no Christmas carols. Would you still choose to have the family time and just give up the other three? I think I would make that decision very easily and say, yes, I would just have the family time. I don't necessarily need a Christmas tree. I don't necessarily need to have the Christmas carols or the gifts, even though those are all very important and fun parts of Christmas. Time with family during the Christmas season is that important. It's such a treasure that we'd probably give up many other parts of the Christmas celebration just to have that time with our family. This is not some revelation I came up with just this past week. This is not anything new to all of you and many people in our world to think of how much that's emphasized even in the world. Think of the Christmas carols that sing about being home with our family for the holidays. I'll be home for Christmas. There's no place like home for the holidays, and so on and so on. There really is nothing like the warmth of being gathered together with family around the soft glow of the Christmas tree, opening presents, sharing love, and sharing joy with each other at Christmas. And that desire to be with family, especially during Christmas time, is good. It's an important part of our Christmas traditions. Is it, however, the most important part? Our family certainly is one of the greatest blessings that God has given us on this earth. Those of us who are separated from our families by miles and miles have a great appreciation for the joy that it brings us when we do get to spend time with our families during this time of year. But for many, it has become the main point of the holiday for people. It's become the reason for the season. Being with family, preparing the family meal, has become in many people's eyes a valid excuse for skipping the celebration of Jesus' birth, going to worship, praising him, and forgetting that this is what Christmas is all about, Jesus. When I think about this fact that it does seem to be a temptation for many, I'm reminded of Jesus' words of warning when he once said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Ever wonder why Jesus said those words? Why did he have to say such a thing? Is it because family and family time really isn't that important? Actually, it's the complete opposite. It's because it's so important, and because it's such a blessing, Jesus has to give us this warning. He knows our human nature. He knows that we love to elevate the gift above the giver. And the greater the gift, the greater the temptation to elevate that gift above the giver. And what a temptation this is. It is, again, very good and right that we love our families deeply. We would literally do anything for them. We'll sacrifice money, time, even give up life itself for them. But for Jesus, would we give him an hour or two at Christmas or on a Sunday? Is that just too much to ask? Yes, as important as family is and as great a blessing as our families are and as family time is, it is not what Christmas is all about. Jesus is. I'd like to remind us today, as we look at this text and we're reminded of some of the thoughts in our gospel reading for today, that we can truly have a blessed Christmas no matter where we are, no matter who we're with, because of two particular families that are in truth more important, in a sense, than our earthly family. The first family is the one that was mentioned in our gospel reading and in some of the gospel readings that we've had over the past few weeks. As we review the Christmas story, we hear about this family. It's recorded for us in the Gospels. We hear about a humble mother, Mary, who accepted the angel's words that she would bear God's holy son, Jesus, and said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." We see a faithful father, Joseph, who believed the angel's words that this child Mary had conceived was not a result of unfaithfulness, but was actually the Son of God conceived in her miraculously by the Holy Spirit. And he did not hesitate to take Mary as his wife and make Jesus his legal son and named him Jesus. Most importantly, we hear about that child. The child whom God's heavenly angels proclaimed would be a savior for all people, a savior from sin, who would bring peace and goodwill between God and mankind by taking the punishment for mankind's sins upon himself on that cross. Well, the Christmas story that's recorded for us in the Gospels also reminds us of the other important family member that we hear about at Christmas time and throughout the year. A father that is more important even than Joseph, who's mentioned in the Christmas accounts. That father, of course, is God the Father. Because of his love, because of his faithfulness to us, he has made us members of a second family that was spoken of in our sermon text for today. Verse 1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father," of course speaking of our Heavenly Father, "what love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." That is the most important family we belong to. It's even more important than our earthly families, and we know what a great blessing they are. Listen again to John's incredible words. He says in verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God." He doesn't say, when we get to heaven, we'll be children of God, but he says, now we are children of God. In his word, God gives us a number of incredible titles and names. He says that we are his servants. We are a holy nation, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, his soldiers. But the dearest of them as of all in the scriptures is the fact that he calls us his children. That's not just some honorary title either. He has literally adopted us into his family, making us his sons and daughters, and therefore brothers and sisters of Jesus. How? Well, the last verse of our text tells us, first of all, it was through Jesus and through the forgiveness he came to bring us when he came to earth as one of us at Christmas. Verse 5 of our text says, he, Jesus, was manifested, that is, made known, to take away our sins. That forgiveness was made our own, and our adoption papers were signed, sealed, and delivered to us personally, so to speak, when God's Holy Spirit worked in our hearts the miracle of faith, whether it was at our baptism or sometime later in life, when the Holy Spirit came to us through the Word of God and brought us to faith. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians, "For you are all sons," that is, heirs of God, "through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That is an incredible gift that we've been given, a gift we should celebrate at Christmas, our adoption into God's family through our Savior and our brother, Jesus Christ. Why is it that we don't always realize just what an incredible gift it is that we are adopted into God's family, that we are his children? Well, part of the reason, John tells us, is that we can't even fully conceptualize this blessing this side of heaven. Ever seen a gift under the Christmas tree that you could not wait to open? Maybe the size of the package got you excited, wondering and anticipating, what in the world could that be? That looks really big, or that looks really extravagant, or it's very weirdly shaped. I wonder what it is. Do you remember how you couldn't wait to open that particular gift? Well, in a sense, that's what John is saying about this great gift of our adoption into God's family. He says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What exactly is that going to be like and feel like, being God's glorified children, being there with Jesus? He says we don't even know for sure yet. We don't even know fully yet. But we will when we are like him and see him as he is. At times in life, it may not seem like being a child of God is much of a great gift at all. Oftentimes it actually means we will be called to suffer or give up some of the desires and pleasures that we have for the sake of God and his kingdom. We may be misunderstood. We may be mistreated, abused by this world, possibly even by some of our own earthly family members because of our faith in Christ Jesus. At times we may not feel like we're that special, or that we're loved, or that we are completely and totally 100% the children of God. But as John tells us, when Jesus is revealed, that is, when he comes again on that last day, we will know. He goes on to say, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. What's that going to be like? Much like that gift that we just wonder, what's that going to be like? What's going to be in that package? What is it going to be like Jesus, to see Jesus as he really is? What's it going to feel like to have our bodies perfectly glorified? What's it going to be like to live in perfect joy and peace without sin, without sorrow, without death, without any sickness for all eternity? John says, we don't really know yet. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Our ultimate glorification in heaven as God's children is like the biggest, shiniest, most exciting present ever to sit under a Christmas tree. And it is a gift that has a tag on it for you. It's waiting for us, not under a Christmas tree, but under the tree of the cross. That is where the great gift of our adoption as God's children, when we were brought into God's family, that is where it happened. The other reason we don't always realize what an incredible gift it is to be adopted into God's family is because we don't often realize, or don't always realize, or understand, or remember where it is we were and what our situation was before we were made children of God. There was nothing we did to earn or deserve or contribute to this adoption. There's nothing we could do either. At our birth into this life, we were not born into God's family. We were born lost. We were born, the Bible says, spiritually dead. We were headed for more death, eternal death. In fact, the Bible actually tells us that by nature, we are enemies of God. We didn't come out the womb automatically loving Him, and by nature, we didn't even want to be rescued. But He loved us. Despite our unlovableness, despite our hostility toward Him, God came to us with His Son Jesus, saw us in the eternal cage of our sin, and had compassion on us. He chose us. He reached down into history and, as importantly, reached down into our history and adopted us into His family. He chose us. We did not choose Him. Listen again to His words, the words from our text. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Yes, our earthly family is a great blessing. It is a tremendous gift from God. Treasure your family. Treasure that family time you get with them over the holidays. Even if you don't get to see all of your family members, treasure the time you have with the ones you get to see. Tell them how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. Remember what a joy and blessing it is to be able to celebrate the birth of our Savior with family. In this life, there are few blessings that are greater. But let's remember at Christmas time and always also our most important family, the family that has been made ours through faith, our spiritual family. God, our Father, Jesus, His Son, and we, His brothers and sisters, the sons and daughters of God, and brothers and sisters of each other through our faith in Christ. By faith, then, you and I have never spent a Christmas away from our family. None of us have. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, who you're with or not with, even if you're by yourself, through Christ, you will have family time for all eternity. Rejoice in that great gift and give praise to the giver. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Are there any prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our Savior and brother, who came to save us and is coming again to take us home to our eternal family in heaven, help us to watch eagerly for your return with our eyes of faith. Open our eyes to see your presence and your coming to us in our daily lives through your word, through your sacraments, and through the people you have given us to love and serve. We thank you, Lord, for coming into our lives and our hearts. We thank you for coming into our world in such a wonderful, vulnerable, and loving way to save us and sacrifice yourself for us and to open our eyes to what true love and real life really is. Thank you for the gift of eternal life you have brought us. Help us to trust you wholeheartedly, to trust your word and the promises you've given us there. Help us live according to your word fearlessly and willingly. When we see troubling things in our lives and in the world around us, when we see signs that remind us that we are living in the last days, we pray that you would lift our eyes and hearts to heaven and to you for our comfort, our joy, and our assurance of forgiveness and eternal rescue. And we pray, dear Jesus, that you would come quickly as you have promised. We pray these things in your saving name as we pray now in your name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We will close our service today with a song by our choir, Advent Prayer. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements for today and, of course, for this important week coming up. After our service today, we will have our choir practice for our Christmas Eve hymn, and then the children will do their Christmas Eve practice after that today. Believe it or not, next Saturday, this coming Saturday, is the Christmas Eve program. It will be at 5 o'clock. So the next time we meet here in church for worship will be Christmas Eve evening. After the service today, I'll be heading up to Hayward for our worship service with the East Bay congregation at 1 and Bible class at 2 p.m. On Tuesday, we have our Stockton worship service. We'll be having a Christmas-themed worship service with the folks there at Oakmont. Again, Saturday is the Christmas Eve program with the children's service, 5 p.m. Saturday. Next Sunday is Christmas Day. We will have our worship service here at 10 a.m. There's no Bible class. And then the worship service in Hayward will be at the usual time of 1 p.m. as well. A reminder, if you have any food or gift donations for the CSA folks, please put them in the box in the entryway, and please do so by noon on Thursday. I'll be taking them in around noon this coming Thursday. There are school fundraising pamphlets in the entryway. If you're looking for gift cards for Christmas, don't forget to purchase them through the Raise Right, and they can also make a donation then with that purchase to our Christian Day School. There's a few items on the CLC news and the overseas news of kinship updates. If you'd please take a look at those, remember our church body and our brothers and sisters in Christ overseas in your prayers and thoughts as well. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.